Good morning. Today is Friday, the 19th of August. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer.
Good morning.
How's the air quality in Arcata?
Excellent.
I thought as much.
Yes. Welcoming all fire refugees for some clean air on the coast. Although it's a little foggy this morning.
Well, clean fog
is
not
fog
bad.
Clean fog is good. I'm sure it would feel good coming from the east.
I would suspect that a lot of the hotels in Valley West are slammed, huh?
Booked solid. Yeah. Yeah.
Adjacent fields that might be available?
it's been busy between fire personnel, fire evacuees, and then move-in days at Cal Poly Humboldt, right?
Is that what it's called, move-in?
Well, that's what I called it last week. I mean, really, last Saturday and then Monday were the two big move-in days for on-campus housing.
Gotcha. And with all the fires that we've had around here, can they get access to Humboldt's property? I mean, they've got, not to pick on it, but let's say like the football field that's not being used by Humboldt right now. Are those made available?
They could be if necessary. Are other facilities. We were readying the community center in Arcata if they needed to close down the Trinity Valley Elementary School shelter. To bring individuals over. Obviously, Redwood Acres is being used as really the spike camp for all of the firefighters. We have a lot of properties over here. With schools starting, that would not be the first go-to. I mean, ultimately, in a catastrophic incident.
Darn
in
fire,
area,
if it would have been 3 weeks ago.
Everything is open, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Are you ready for a white? Oh.
Never.
Making
never ready
fun
for
of
the
others.
Ones. Yeah, let's try again.
You want another category?
It's the last thing I need to do this morning.
Okay, well, then we won't talk about being henpecked.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Okay. Some things are not what they seem. That's our category.
Okay.
Patient.
Patient.
Why do we say that someone is a patient?
Patient. I don't know. Winston has his phone out this morning. Yeah. Maybe he knows why we call someone a patient.
I don't think he's hit Wordle because, yet.
I don't know. Maybe
right.
It takes a while to heal.
Some persons under medical care are irritable and full of complaints. Yet even a habitually impatient person is called a patient. The riddle is solved by a look at medieval medicine. Oh, boy. Medieval medical practices when most havens for the sick were operated by the church. New workers soon learned that every group of sufferers included some who never complained. From an ecclesiastic
standpoint.
Thank you. Term for one who suffers, a person who endured pain calmly was called a patient. Eventually, the label expanded to name anyone receiving medical treatment. Early manuals urged healthcare professionals to be patient, even with the impatient. A 1547 volume stated, "Surgeons ought never be boisterous about their patients, but lovingly comfort them no matter what."
Well, that'll be the motto of our weekend, patient with the impatient.
Oh, I thought that could be for any of the city department heads. Perhaps not.
Perhaps it's what we do every day.
Oh, I see. Yes, it's not focused just on the weekends. Well, you mentioned school being back open. And I guess all schools will be open next week.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect that the tenor, flavor, and culture of Arcata has shifted dramatically in the last 10 days.
Energy is up.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, really fun. Really fun weekend. Beautiful weekend in Arcata for the real start, a move-in. We had staff and council up on campus to welcome families.
Oh, they just didn't get lost looking for food.
The farmers market, we had the concerts on the plaza, we had a community festival in the ballpark. I mean, the town was hopping all weekend. It was great to see. Cal Poly Humboldt is up 5% overall in student population this year, but their freshman class.
That's what Jen was saying. It's concentrated in the freshmen.
35% higher than last year's freshman class. So it's exciting to see. It's so fun to see the new students and their families welcome them into Arcata.
Well, and some signs of regular, this is the way it's supposed to be. I don't like the N-word.
I've had some student staff lament that, you know, almost feeling jealous of these incoming freshmen that are experiencing, you know, normalcy, what they had wished to have experienced their last 2 years at the university in general. But yeah, no, really, really exciting. The every student that wanted housing from campus, they were able to move off the wait list. They did lease one hotel in Arcata that is housing 94, I think, students, a couple of extra spaces.
The Valley West one.
Yeah, Comfort Inn at the Valley in Valley West. So we also had staff out there to welcome those students moving into, you know, a little less traditional space.
Yeah, I don't know if an apartment or a motel room.
The motel room might be a little larger.
Yeah, but there's no kitchen.
But there's no kitchen, yeah. But a lot of the dorms never had kitchens, right? I mean, you.
I suppose if they have a meal farther pass. From,
yeah.
Yeah, tougher to walk to the meals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, it might be a glorified dorm. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to share the rooms, do they? Or do they?
Oh, I assume they're at least two per room. I mean, they're fitting 94 in that space. So, yeah, it's probably.
Yeah, it would be.
About 50 rooms. Right. Yeah.
Hmm. See, and security, obviously, is being provided there.
Yeah, but, you know, they moved out all the furniture. They moved in, you know, student furniture. They will actually convert the hotel. I mean, so they'll have desks.
They brought in the cast iron units.
But then they actually put all of the hotel furniture in storage, and they will bring that back out in the end of May. So they will operate as a hotel for the busy months of June and July.
That's almost like 100% guaranteed occupancy.
It is exactly that. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have others lining up to do the same thing?
I hope not. It's a hard deal not to take. I mean, it's a temporary measure until we can get housing. Because Arcata needs hotels too, right?
Right.
Like, we're converting two of our hotels into long-term shelter housing right now. And then to have that third, we also, I mean, Cal Poly itself needs hotels in the area. So it would be a good time to build a hotel in Arcata.
Well, fast track permitting?
Absolutely. Call me direct.
Is there, there's not that much footprint for
that's
though,
the challenge. But if you have the footprint or and you want to build, absolutely call the city manager's office direct.
That would be like the property across the street in the shopping center? Convert a little bit of that over?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are a handful of vacant parcels that could accommodate.
I heard Brian had thoughts about that too for the parking lot.
Oh, Brian Ahern?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, good. We'll share those later. Much later.
It's no.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, biggest surprise for anybody who hasn't been in Arcata in the last 2 years would be blank.
The biggest surprise, if you haven't been to Arcata, I think would just be how many restaurants are up and running and full and... I mean, it shouldn't surprise you. We've always had good food. But I think that some of our restaurants either have redefined themselves, like Mazzotti's coming back open. And then we've just had a ton of new small restaurants open. The Kitchen, the Pub really took off. The Oak Deli has opened up. Big Blue is back open. I mean, things are...
Sounds like a shopping show promo at this point.
I know. Well, you asked me what would surprise people in Arcata.
Going down the list, I think we got them all for tomorrow. But it's,
you will not go hungry in Arcata.
So are these Is there just that spirit or a culture now starting to develop around food that wasn't there historically?
We love to eat in Arcata. Yeah, we absolutely do. And I mean, and we're so spoiled to have the good food that we have on the North Coast. You know, I mean, I am always amazed anytime I travel at how good our restaurant and quality of food is.
Oh, no. It's the other way around. Why are you guys eating all this garbage? Back home we have.
Yeah.
It's funny how references are always where we are. There's no national average for food as an example.
No, but we would set the bar for sure.
Yeah, it just is interesting. And I don't know if the cost of entry is less because, you know, your inventory is so, you know, you're not having to stock shelves.
Yeah.
Like a lot of other business options are, or having to buy a ton of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the situation with the bars? As I know, this time last year, there was a lot of kerfuffle.
Mm-hmm. A couple years ago now.
That's twice in 1 week I've used that word, yeah.
Okay. First time I've heard it this morning.
But. I'm kind of getting into a rut here a little bit. But there was overtness to either spreading the bars out so that there's not that high concentration or to make it more manageable so mm-hmm. that some of the situations that have arisen over the years are less apt to occur.
Yeah.
Is that nice?
Yeah, it's been very successful. I mean, we didn't anticipate two closures. We didn't anticipate drug sales coming out of the bars themselves that resulted in those liquor licenses being
pulled. Oh,
that was
the store next door selling the drugs?
No, the bars, right? No, like that's what
the marijuana stores.
No, this was not marijuana.
Yeah. No, you're right. Not 2 years ago.
No.
Okay.
No, but it did. It opened up a couple of things. It didn't open up new licenses, but it did open up, I think, business opportunities. And you know, like the pub ended up being able to attain a full liquor license, and so that's down in the Creamery District. We're not seeing the concentration.
Yeah, the disbursement, I would think,
on the plaza
is a healthy
at
thing for the community.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just opening up opportunities. You know, one of the things that the council did since we last talked was they actually approved a series of 8 street parties on sort of what I'll call the end of N Street. And we've had 2 of them now. The third will be not this weekend, but next weekend. And the council approved music until midnight and then what they call silent disco until 1 a.m., and that is
you stand out in the parking lot gyrate with no music.
No, you have headphones, and the headphones have like 4 or 5 different stations. So if we all each have a set of headphones on,
even
this station if you had good dancing music, and then let's say this station, the headphones, if you turned on this station, your headphones light up green, so you can tell which other people in the area are listening to the same song you are. I don't know. I can't say I participated in it yet.
Yeah, after midnight, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, I think the idea was the council is looking for what are other unique types of entertainment that would be appealing to the young population of Arcata and still trying to keep somewhat COVID safe. So,
that
disperses some of
that concern. I mean, we hear from
CDC
that they screwed things up. The schools now.
We do? That's what we hear from CDC?
The last couple of weeks, they've been saying we missed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That we should have had the kids still in school. Mm-hmm. And now the educational gurus at the state are saying, you know, if a kid's sick, great. He goes home and we let everybody else know, but everybody else doesn't have to disappear. I mean, it's like it's being processed now more as an anticipated regular normal.
Yeah, well, it is.
Rather than this
gonna have to be.
Other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Recognition that if you have a cold, don't be here. Well, wasn't that always there?
No, not in our culture. I don't think so. It maybe is one of the positive things that have come out of the pandemic, is that I think we had a culture that was, I don't care how sick you are, drag yourself to work and muscle it through, right? Like, how many times have you come to work sick, Brian? You don't have to answer that on air.
You're asking the wrong guy because I don't.
I'm
one of those freaks that don't get cold. Really, like I think I've had one sick day in 10 years.
There's someone in the office that
now Winston might is a little bit more susceptible than I am, but it's for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I got the lucky chromosome on that one.
Right. Yeah, but well, that's good. I mean, that's super fortunate. But I do think we've had a mentality.
Where, suck it up and power through.
Yeah.
Or if you're working outside by your, you know,
by yourself,
it's probably not as critical.
Right.
Unless you fall over into the ditch, yeah. And then you probably, you know, call 911. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. So where do we go from here? We've still got some construction season stuff going on.
We should talk about
the palace being built by Humboldt State.
There's just a lot of construction.
It's like all over the place. All of a sudden, we're participating in the last 30 years. It's kind of interesting.
I'd like to say we've been doing it for three or four years.
But not on the same scale, and it's not every community participating in this big push.
We couldn't be poised more perfectly with all of the state and federal stimulus and dollars coming down around infrastructure. We just yesterday opened up the bids for phase one of the rehab of our wastewater treatment facility. So this will be, on a financial scale, the single largest project the city's ever done. Our low bid came in at $51.5 million.
I bet you that was tough to say the first time.
You can rest assured the bidders were in the room to see who was going to get this bid. We're still verifying everything within the bids. The bids themselves were, 10 inches thick in paper.
How long will that take to go through to make sure that there's not a typo or a number transposed or something that needed to be included wasn't included? I would think that could take 6 months if you have five or six of those bids. Number one and then make sure that number two qualifies. So if one, for whatever reason, craps out on you, you get on the horn and say,
we'll be ready. We only actually got two bids. We had a third bidder telling us that they were going to come in, and then one of their subs didn't come through with the bid the last day. So everyone sits in the room and we put in all the numbers. So you have typically on a big project like this, you have representatives from anyone in the bids. They sit there with their bid. They watch their numbers go up. Everyone watches the numbers go up. So we know walking out of
it's really
room,
a public.
Who's the apparent low bidder, right? And then we go through and make sure that they have all the qualifications and. So that'll take maybe another week, but, we'll hopefully award that bid at our, next council meeting or the one after. But it's a 30-month project. It's a 2.5-year construction project.
And presuming all materials are available?
And we've actually pre-ordered some of those. The city actually pre-ordered to give us an extra 6 months of lead time on trying to procure some of the big pieces.
The sewer water treatment. Are you talking about refurbishing the ponds? The new expansion stuff that, the properties that you've acquired that are going to be part of this also? Ripping out all the pipes and, the traditional-looking building that's part of all of this? Right. Is it the whole nine yards?
No, it's not the whole nine yards. It's the first 4.5 of the 9 yards. It's the first half. But the big components are it is taking us away from chemical chlorine disinfection of how we clean our wastewater before it goes into the bay, and it moves it to what's called UV, which is an ultraviolet, a light radiation.
Burn it out.
Light, yep, you burn it out.
Okay.
But it doesn't add that chemical into the water before it goes to the bay. So that conversion is probably the most significant change. And then from a financial
Where are the pawns in that process then? Do you go through the pawns after it's been, let's say, after it's been irradiated? And then it gets whatever the goodies are, and then that water gets out into the bay?
I'm going to try to keep the answer simplified.
Good.
Because it gets a little complicated.
Have a chance on this one.
But really, we chlorinate, and then we actually use another chemical process to dechlorinate right before it goes to the bay. So they want that last, I'll just say that last bacterial kill right before it goes into the bay. Now, for us, that water actually does split. Half of it goes into the bay, and then half of it gets routed back through the ponds. So it all comes into our treatment plant. It goes through all of the treatment, mechanical treatment, the ponds, the polishing ponds, and then it goes through that chlorine basin, and then it divides again. Half goes back through the ponds, gets blended with new water coming in, and then half goes out to the bay, and it continues to cycle that way. So this will have one pass system now. It'll just come in, it'll go through, the UV disinfection and out to the bay. Nothing will cycle back through.
So is there a need for the ponds?
Oh, yeah, no, it'll go through all the ponds. Yeah, the ponds do all that polishing, all that cleaning of that water to get it to a level that then the UV disinfection can do that last
guaranteed kill, rather than step two. Okay.
Yeah. It's exciting.
The properties...
For me.
Yeah.
For our community.
Yes.
For Arcata that flushes with pride.
The additional properties that were purchased adjacent, are those part of the water treatment process, or are they hoped to be down the road, or is it a wildlife preserve and something that's totally not connected?
It is peripherally connected. So one of the areas that we call the McDaniel Slough Restoration Area, most of those properties primarily were purchased for restoration, for sea level rise adaptation, for, you know, protection of that wildlife preserve area.
So a buffer.
Buffer. Perfect way to put it. But the other component of our wastewater is the ability to reuse that water for beneficial uses. So a lot of those properties, we will change the location of where our wastewater is discharged in this phase one also, and it will go out through what we call McDaniel Slough. So it will add water into that. It'll add not salt water, right, but our fresh water into that area, creating that brackish marsh, that brackish meaning part salt water, part fresh water. And it will continue to cleanse that water before it goes out into the bay as well. But in the meantime, that nutrients will enhance that area to also help with the biological diversity of that area. So similar
You whip all those phrases
I'm
in
not
there.
Keep it simple.
Are these going to be like mini lagoons? Then?
No, they'll be open. The rest of the areas that we have will be open to tidewater influence.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can see them all now, but they will have that added nutrients of our wastewater then being discharged through.
Is the goal to have the water the same as what's on the other side of the dike in the bay, or is it a super, amped up isn't the right word, but fertilized, but is it a better, more viable water that's being discharged into the bay? Are you going to see growth at that point? I know that's the goal
Well, you'll see some minor changes in vegetation, just the influence of fresh water, right? The influence of the lower saline levels. I mean, that's the part you'll never mimic what's in the bay because the heavy influence from, it's ocean water, right? So that mixing zone is what can create some of those unique habitats along the edge. So you'll see some of that develop.
No kelp. In North Bay. Oh, darn.
Knock on wood, is that what we do around here?
I hope so. KI, yeah, I see that we run into walls. I mean, yeah, take your pick.
Yeah.
It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Deemer. Last time we got together, there was a little bit of discussion about the fast-tracking of development home.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the state had, was it SB9?
Mm-hmm. SB9.
Okay,
yeah.
Which allows, you know, parcel
splitting
split
of parcels
across
yeah.
the board. Doesn't matter what your local jurisdiction says. The state says it's okay. Thank you very much. Get out of the way. Okay. But that's still, there's still the planning commissions. And they have roles also. Mm-hmm. How is that going to change their role? Or what do you see the planning commission function being in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. That is an active conversation in Arcata right now. In fact, the city council is having a study session with the planning commission just next Tuesday, and in part to discuss one of the ways that cities are trying to organize themselves to maintain some level of control around development is through what we call them form-based codes, but really it's just an objective set of standards that you apply across the board that development, you know, must comply with in your community, right? So
really basic stuff like has to comply to the state standards.
It has to comply with these objective standards. And so far, the state is still saying if communities have objective standards that are across the board, that they can be imposed on development. So these could be things such as, height, certain massing at certain heights. So once you get above, let's say, 30 feet, you maybe need to set back 6 inches. Or 6 inches, like 6 feet back, you know, so that it's just not one monolithic building. What are your setbacks from sidewalks?
So there's still an integration of those who are partnering with what the state's saying as well as what the locals want.
Right. But what the state is saying is that you can't just impose discretionary standards as you wish, you know, development by development. You need to have a set of objective standards that a developer can comply with.
Isn't that what general plans and housing elements and all those cute things we've heard about for decades
all years,
do?
Yeah, to some degree. But we've also, local jurisdictions have been able to maintain a tremendous amount of discretion. And we hold that dearly, and we fight for that annually in Sacramento.
Sure, that's the neighborhood feel.
Right.
Yeah. So is that at risk with this?
We now have to really define what creates that neighborhood feel, right, in an objective standard. So that is the process that Arcata is going through in what we call a strategic infill planning effort.
Just couldn't call it something simple.
No,
huh?
couldn't do it. we're a city.
Planning
we're
ideals.
An academic city, yeah. University town.
Well, and I would think that's tough because to codify a black and white, somebody who's not here to be able to tell what it is, and not have somebody say, well, I don't like the, and have that kind of squirrel the project out.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be refreshing, but it's going to be frustrating from those that are used to having their opinions heard every time, every minute.
Yeah, so that important piece is to hear that now, is for the community to be involved now at this phase. So we do have a lot of outreach and public engagement efforts underway.
When I said pleasing, what I really meant was... You got to get it really defined tight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do.
It'll be interesting to see how this all comes out, huh?
It will. I mean, I think there is in this whole region, we're seeing a real pressure to have housing growth. You know, I mean, we know that the university is going to grow. And, you know, a lot of that they will build on campus or on parcels, you know, that they own that are off campus. But, you know, a substantial number of students, staff, and faculty also want to either buy or rent in
well, and the support and the vendors and everybody, the rest of us that benefit from it, too.
Yeah.
Interesting times.
Yeah. Yeah. So people should come in and join us Tuesday night at 6 o'clock with the council and the planning commission. They'll be talking about heights. They'll be talking about traffic circulation. How do we move cars, peds, and bikes through new developments?
So if somebody bought you a shirt that said the Ocho, would you wear it? See everybody on Monday.